Good morning. Welcome to Husky Nation News, right here on WHUS Stores 91.7 FM. This broadcast is in collaboration with the Yukon newspaper, The Daily Campus, and Yukon student-run TV station, UCTV. I'm your host, Ali Urban, and here's the news of the University of Connecticut this week. Yukon Parking Services issued over 966,000 in tickets and fines during 2018, according to a Freedom of Information Act, FOIA, request. Daily Campus correspondent Nick Smith reports that Yukon graduate student Colin McNeil, who is currently employed by the university's Information Technology Services, put in the FOIA request and subsequently sent the data to the Daily Campus. He expressed feeling that parking services were never transparent about their actions. McNeil discovered that although only about 19% of tickets were appealed in 2018, about 51% of those appeals were successful. Interestingly enough, roughly 24% of the tickets were written on Mondays, more than any other day. About 10% were issued during the first week of classes, meaning that parking services has roughly $70,000 in potential fines during the move-in days and syllabus week. Parking services director Dwight Atherton declined to comment on the statistical findings. University of Connecticut undergraduate student government president Priyanka Thakkar recently appointed Walter Dodson as interim comptroller through an executive order, something USG's judiciary branch found to be unconstitutional. Mike Mavridakis of the Daily Campus reports that Dodson was appointed on September 18th due to former comptroller Dylan Nenadal being impeached based on charges of negligence. The judiciary says that, quote, "The existence of such procedures within the Constitution indicates that the position of the comptroller is to remain unfilled until the next meeting of the Senate. And so the action of appointing any individual or group of individuals to fulfill the powers and functions of the comptroller is unconstitutional." The president ultimately gave Dodson full power in the comptroller position, despite the fact that he shouldn't have been given the position via executive order. This clarification comes from a document called Per Curiam Regarding Executive Order 1. An amendment to the USG bylaws has been passed by the Senate, outlining how to handle occurrences of similar nature in the future, and President Thakkar agreed to sign the legislation during the Senate meeting, but it has yet to be signed into law at this present time. Obesity affects 39.8% of adults and causes $147 billion in medical costs each year, according to the Center for Disease Control. According to Daily Campus correspondent Grace McFadden, the University of Connecticut Center for Mobile Health and Social Media is trying to solve the epidemic via a combination of health psychology and behavioral technology. mHealth is a new field that uses mobile technology as means to improve public health. Specifically, mHealth is in the process of developing an app to help people improve their eating habits using health psychology, according to Sherry Pagoto, professor of Allied Health Services and director of the Yukon Center for mHealth and Social Media. The app, called Slip Buddy, allows users to track when they feel they've slipped up in their healthy eating habits. The user is also asked a series of questions about the slip-up, allowing them to have a fuller picture of what factors may cause them to lapse back into their unhealthier habits. Additionally, the Yukon mHealth and social media team is exploring how social media can be used as a tool for personal health. Pagoto says that in the same study in which Slip Buddy is currently being tested, participants are interacting with an online weight loss community in conjunction with using the app. This research study serves as part of a broader investigation into the benefits of technology in preventative medicine. That's all the news we have for now. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll hear a special interview from our operations manager, Aiden Brickner, who hosted an interview with Fergal Scale, a member of the popular Celtgrass band, Wee Banjo 3.
October 13th marks the 50th anniversary of the opening of Leamy Hall. To celebrate, the United States Coast Guard Band is presenting a free concert in tribute to Admiral Frank A. Leamy, featuring renowned soloists Joseph DeLeo and Megan Wyklingit. The concert starts at 2 p.m. on the 13th and will be held at Leamy Hall, which is located at 15 Mohegan Avenue in New London, Connecticut. To enter the Coast Guard Academy, drivers are required to present a valid photo ID. For more on the Coast Guard Band, visit uscg.mil/band or call the concert information line at 860-701-6826. This event is free and open to the public. You're listening to 91.7 WHUS Stores.
All right, Fergal, are you ready to get started?
I am indeed.
All right, excellent. So, why don't you start off by just telling us a little bit about the band that you are in, and also what you do in the band?
Yes, indeed, I would be happy to. So, we're a band called We Banjo 3. We come from Galway in Ireland. So, we're two sets of brothers, myself, Fergal, and my brother, Enda Scahill. And then we are joined by the Howley brothers, David and Martin Howley. And we grew up in the west of Ireland, in County Galway, which is a very beautiful place. And the band formed, I suppose, in 2010 was the band started out. And it was originally a band of just three guys and three banjos. It was sort of a concept idea, hence the name We Banjo 3. And then I suppose we started to expand in 2012. I joined the band last and I played a fiddle and also the bower on the Irish drum. So in 2012 we were invited over to America for the first time to perform in Milwaukee at the Irish Fest there, and that was kind of our springboard into the United States, and we've been touring here ever since, and we love coming over here.
Excellent. Yeah, I was going to ask about the name We Banjo 3, because obviously there are four members. So did you ever consider changing the name to We Banjo 4?
Doesn't really rhyme as well, though, does it?
No, I guess not. All right, so you also already touched on a little bit about what you do in the band. So you play the fiddle as well as the bowgun, you called it?
It's a bowron. It's a traditional Irish drum, yeah. So it's just a side frame drum. You play it on its side. Made from goat skin and wood. Yeah, very simple, very old Irish instrument.
Very cool. So I also saw that you, as a member of the band, you did a challenge of sorts on your Instagram a year or so ago, where you played and recorded a song every day of the year. Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. I did it on all social media, and mostly on Facebook, actually, and tip in and out of Instagram. But in 2017, I did it the first time, where I just kind of had an idea to keep the interest going in the playing, and just to challenge myself, really. I played a different traditional Irish tune every day of the year and posted them to social media. So that was 365 tunes, and then I'm actually doing it again this year, so I'm into my second round of 365 tunes. There are countless tunes in the Irish tradition, and I suppose I just wanted this as a challenge for myself, and also a fun way to share Irish traditional tunes widely across the world. So yeah, it's been great, and I've had a huge response to it, and I really enjoy meeting people at the We Banjo 3 shows. Lots of people will turn up with instruments now and say, "Here, can I play a tune with you for your tune today?" So that's a really nice thing.
Oh, that's really awesome. You have almost like a live collaboration with people.
Yeah, happens all the time. That's really good. And that's one of the special things about Irish traditional music, is that it spreads so far and wide, but people will have common repertoire of tunes, you know, no matter what country you go to. If you, like last time I did this, we were in Japan and met people in Japan who had, you know, knew the same tunes that originated in Ireland. And it's really, really beautiful thing.
Yeah, that's really cool. So, as a band, you guys have had two Billboard number one premier albums. Do you want to just talk a little bit about how that feels for you guys as a band, and also like how that feels for you personally, like how that kind of fits into your goals?
Yeah, I suppose it's every band's dream to have an album chart at all, or to do well and be appreciated. So for us to have had our last two albums go to number one in the Billboard charts is a real thing of the dreams. You know, you never really imagine that it can happen, but it's a nice recognition of all the hard work that goes into an album, as I'm sure you well know. And especially then when it's an album of all your own original material that the band has written, it is yeah, it certainly feels good, and it's kind of, as I said, a nice acknowledgement of the work that you've put in for your whole life to get to those albums, because tunes and songs are written over a lifetime. They're not really just, you know, you don't sit down in an afternoon and write it. It's an accumulation of what has gone into your music up to that point. And yeah, it's really nice, and it helps you keep moving forward and keep turning up to shows and keep writing. And mm-hmm. you know, so we're plotting for the next album already.
Oh, awesome. I'm really glad to hear that. Yeah, I'm sure that's a great feeling for you guys, and I look forward to seeing you guys keep it up. So now we're kind of moving into the more business sections of the interview, as I like to put it. Okay. So what would you say is your guilty pleasure song or genre? Something that you listen to that's like not in your typical wheelhouse, but you enjoy nonetheless?
Total. Yeah, a bit of 80s rock is always good. 80s power ballads, you know, if you're cleaning the kitchen or something, you need to get a bit of energy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would go for something like that as my guilty pleasure. I love every genre of music, and you know, everything from swing to bluegrass to rap, you know, kind of pick mm-hmm. from everything. But yeah, there's always one that you like to throw on a bit of Toto, mm-hmm. get you going.
Do you have a favorite release that's come out this year?
Oh, that's a good one. That's come out this year. It's so hard to keep up. There's so much stuff that comes out on a regular basis.
Oh, like, you're telling me.
I like Billy Strings released a new album. Billy is a great bluegrass player. He just released an album there in the last couple of weeks. So that's fantastic. Fantastic piece of work.
Cool. Awesome. So next question. If you were a spy, what would your code name be? And also, what would your cover be?
Ooh. If I was a spy, my first email address was Fierce Fiddler, because I play the fiddle and played fiercely. So I don't know if that would be a good spy name, Fierce Fiddler. It could be a giveaway straight away. Mm-hmm. My cover story would be Carpenter, definitely.
Carpenter, okay. Any reasoning yeah. as to why a carpenter?
I think if I wasn't a musician, I would be a carpenter.
Really?
So it would be an easy one for me to play, yeah.
That's cool. Is carpentry work a passion of yours? Or
I do, and look, like, we're very lucky that we have a good amount of time at home each year, and I live in a beautiful part of County Clare in Ireland, in the middle of nowhere, so I'm lucky to have enough time to partake in carpentry, and I like to make, you know, stuff around the house, and sometimes make it worse, sometimes make it better, you know the way.
Yeah, I mean, that's part of the learning experience, right?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. All right, so next one. What extinct animal would you like to bring back to life? Like, reintroduce it to the ecosystem.
Ooh, T-Rex, just to see what would happen.
T-Rex, cool. Just as like a fun little social experiment, go Jurassic yeah, Park yeah. on him.
Why not? Yeah.
All right, cool. Chaotic. I like it.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
As long as I can watch from a safe distance, I don't want to be in the middle of that.
Hey, I don't know. I don't know if you've seen the Jurassic Park films, but there's only so safe of a distance you can get from a T-Rex. You know, it manages to. Typically manages to get around whatever things they put in its path.
I think it would, yeah.
Okay. All right, so my next question. Are you familiar with the trolley problem?
No.
No? Okay. So imagine this. You are standing on a street, right? You're standing on a hill. And in the middle of this street, there is a trolley track. I'm sure you know what a trolley is, right?
Yeah.
You know, like San Francisco, yeah. that type of thing. This trolley has lost control of its brakes and it is careening down the hill. Tied onto the tracks further down the hill are two people. So the trolley is almost certainly going to run them over. However, you are standing in front of a lever. And this lever will divert the trolley from its path and avoid those two people. However, the track that you divert it to has one tied up person on it. So you have the lever, you have the choice of people, you have the trolley. What would you do?
That's a difficult question. Do you get any background on the people? Like
on the people? They are completely anonymous. They could be very evil. They could be charitable people. This is a classic thought question.
Yeah. I don't know.
You don't know.
Put me on the spot here.
Mm-hmm.
Put me on the spot. I'm in Oregon as well, so it's early in the morning. If that's any excuse.
Oh, I gotcha. Well, hey, you know, maybe the trolley is careening early in the morning. You know, what would you do?
What would I do?
Seconds to spare.
You'd have to go for the lesser of. Yeah.
Okay, so you would flip the lever.
I think so. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Very, very interesting. Thank you for that insight.
Really hard to know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's a very difficult question for sure. You know, there's the whole argument about whether inaction is an action in and of itself, you know. I'm not going to interfere. Well, that's a choice you made, but, you know, that kind of thing. So,
yeah.
Very, very interesting as a whole. Alrighty.
Yeah.
So, less deeper one philosophically for this next one, I promise. what is something you hate that everybody else loves? Or vice versa, if you have an interesting one for something that you love that everybody else hates.
Oh. That is a good one. That's a good question.
Take your time. I can cut out silences.
I was going to say, yeah, there's going to be a lot of silence in this otherwise.
No, don't worry about it. You're all good. If you want, I'm
really drawing blanks here.
Okay. If you want, I can move on to a different question. We can skip over that.
I think so, yeah. Okay. I'm not being smart, but I flew in here yesterday after a 22-hour day.
Oh, my gosh.
Yesterday, travel day.
Wow.
So my brain is not fully functioning, so my creative side is still asleep, I think.
Yeah, that's totally fine.
Thank you for pushing me, and if I think of an answer, we can come back to it.
Okay. Yeah, no problem at all. All right, so next question. What is your most irrational fear?
My most irrational fear is probably... probably mice.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's completely irrational because I'm aware that mice are completely harmless and they can't actually hurt you. But if I recently was staying in a little cabin in the woods, and just a little tiny little mouse ran out, and I screamed and I jumped. I actually jumped whole bodily. So yeah. That's probably, and it's not a very interesting one, but it is,
Wow. So yeah. Following up with that question, you're obviously a live musician. Do you get stage fright?
No.
No. So you are totally fine playing in front of possibly hundreds, if not thousands, of people, but a mouse would scare you.
There you go. Yeah, and it's funny, like playing in front of 10,000 people, I would not bat an eyelid at. Playing for, you know, 10 people, mm-hmm. whom you know, or the only gig I've been nervous for in the last, I don't know how many years, was we played for the Irish Luncheon for Barack Obama a couple of years ago when he was president. And I felt nervous about that, but I think that was just the whole grandeur of the whole occasion.
Yeah, I mean, it was the president of the United States. So
Yeah.
I think that's fair.
Yeah, but on, as a general rule, no, the smaller the show, sometimes you might feel nervous because it's more intimate. But when you're playing to a crowd of 10,000, it's all energy. Mm-hmm. You're feeding off their energy. You're trying to have them feed off the other way around, you know. So you don't think of it as that, you know.
Mm-hmm. Now, would you be scared performing in front of a crowd of 10,000 mice?
Ooh, probably not either, no.
You wouldn't be?
Wouldn't do it.
Okay. Very interesting.
No, I wouldn't. I'm not. Yeah, no.
Okay, cool. Okay. One last question, and then we can revisit the hate love question if you'd come up with something.
Okay.
So being a resident of the Isles, so to speak, you're kind of close to Scotland geographically.
Yep.
Do you think that the Loch Ness Monster is real?
I'd like to think that it is real.
Mm-hmm.
Just from an interest point of view, but I have been to the area and I don't believe it's real.
Okay.
Sorry.
No, that's fine. I try and ask some kind of supernatural-esque question on most of my interviews. I interviewed a band this summer and I asked them if they believed in ghosts. So
I believe in ghosts.
You believe in ghosts?
I believe in this spirit world, yeah. Mm-hmm. And in actual ghosts that, you know, either hold a space in certain buildings or areas. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome.
And whether or not they just live in people's imaginations, they're still there.
Yeah, I mean, what is anything but a figment of our imagination? Who's to say
exactly
that ghosts aren't real because we think of them? You
yes.
know? Very, very insightful. All right, so have you thought of something that you hate that everybody else loves, / vice versa?
I actually haven't. It's maybe I'm just nice and easygoing.
Maybe you're just nice. Easier. Go with the flow.
Yeah.
That is totally fine.
Yeah. I like it if you like it.
Okay, yeah. It's like the thing where people say if it's pronounced caramel or caramel. You know?
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Yeah, I just switch around to whatever people say because I really couldn't be bothered to say which one is like actually the way it's pronounced. But all right, well, in that case, that is all the questions that I have for you. Is there anything
Excellent.
That you would like to say to the Connecticut listening audience?
Come out to the show.
All right, awesome. Yeah,
buy tickets. The show is great fun. We have a great emphasis in our gig on sort of inclusivity and having the fun and getting everybody in the crowd. It's not a people sit down and, you know, quietly watch us. It's we play and everybody dances around and goes a bit daft. Even in, you know, in theatres, in performing arts centres, whatever it is, we get people on their feet and it's a good night. It's a lot of fun. I really enjoy doing it, which is always good. If you enjoy your job, you want people to enjoy it with you, you know?
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah, definitely a lot of fun.
All right, awesome. Well, We Banjo 3 will be coming to the University of Connecticut and the Jorgensen Theater on Friday, October 17th. You can come out and see them then. Fergal, it was excellent to speak to you, and I am eagerly awaiting the show. Thank you for calling in.
Thank you very much. Thanks for your time.
All right.